The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray for those today who mourn and weep, for their loved ones, and for the peace of their cities. O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family, especially our sisters and brothers of Gilroy, California, El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infects our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us, unite us in bonds of love, and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time, all nations and races may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. In her book, Short Stories of Jesus, New Testament professor and author Amy Jo Levine writes, "What makes the parables mysterious or difficult is that they challenge us to look into the hidden aspects of our own values, our own lives. They bring to surface unasked questions, and they reveal the answers we have always known but refuse to acknowledge." She adds, "We might be better off thinking less about what they mean and more about what they do. Remind, provoke, refine, confront, and disturb." Thinking about this quote reminded me of another quote on why the parables can be so difficult. After a Sunday service at my seminary field education parish, in which a sermon on Jesus' parable of Lazarus and the rich man was just preached, I overheard one parishioner say to another, "Just once, I wish we could hear a sermon about Jesus loving rich people too." This really struck me. I haven't forgotten it. And I wonder if that sentiment shapes some of those unasked questions Professor Levine refers to. Is Jesus telling us that we shouldn't save for our retirement? We shouldn't store up for the season of life in which we hope to relax? Is it unchristian to focus a lot of our attention on our finances for today and for tomorrow? And what exactly does Jesus mean by rich? He doesn't really mean me, does he? I'm not rich. But am I a fool? Yes, Jesus does talk about the rich and their wealth in many of his parables and stories. Earlier in the Gospel of Luke, we heard Jesus bless the poor and add his woes to the rich in the Lucan version of the Beatitudes. He tells the disciples that he comes to bring good news to the poor. We hear him say, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And Jesus instructs the young ruler seeking eternal life to sell all he has and give the proceeds to the poor. The young ruler walks away sad because he has many possessions. Yes, well, perhaps the rich do seem to take some hits from Jesus. A simple conclusion that Jesus loves the poor over the rich is, well, unsettling. It doesn't match up with our hope in eternal life and grace, mercy, and compassion available for everyone. And maybe this is why it's easy for us to get stuck here, was trying to find meaning of what applies to us and hoping that Jesus doesn't really mean it that way. This is why I think Professor Levine's teaching is so helpful, especially to the parable we hear this morning when she suggests that we be less concerned with meaning and more concerned with what the parable does to us and for us. Jesus clearly says we are to be on guard against our potential worst nature towards money and possessions, greed, all kinds of greed. It is a life of greed that this rich man in the parable is living. He sees his abundance of crops as the means to enrich himself and only himself. Jesus tells of the rich man's conversation as being completely one-sided, he and his soul. He uses the pronouns my and I exclusively, never giving voice to another soul or person in his life, not once. Abundance for him means building bigger barns. He gives not one consideration to where this abundance actually comes from. That in order to have this abundance of crops, there must be good soil for the seeds to grow in, the right amount of sun and rain for the plants to flourish, the labor of others to harvest, gather, and thresh the wheat, and even move all the grain into that new bigger barn. He considers it as if it all comes to him because of him, all in his control and all for his benefit. This parable most likely disturbs us as we wonder and consider how we handle any wealth and possessions we hold, or our lack of them, or for the time we spend worrying and watching over them. But if we stop at just being disturbed, we miss how the parable moves us on beyond ourselves and orients us towards God. You see, Jesus is reminding us of what wealth does when we forget to pay attention to whom it really comes from. He is provoking us to awareness of our neighbors and their needs, confronting us to remember the words we sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Jesus is refining us to the kingdom life, the life we can live right now as he heads toward the cross. Jesus' parable is disturbing our illusion of control. wealth and possessions of any amount, from the least to the greatest, are the gifts of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. It is with the practices of gratitude, generosity, and kindness that we will find our way to abundance as a way of life. With no regard to wealth or possessions, we come to the altar side by side, sharing in the body and blood of Christ, with open hands to receive the food and drink of love and eternal life Jesus means for us to have, rich and poor alike. Now, there's no doubt we live in a time where there is ease of greed and materialism by some, while there is hardship in meeting the basic needs of life for others. And there are no easy answers as to why. There is us, however, you and me. Jesus calls us to share the love we are given, the gifts we are given, and the hope we are given as often as we can. And when we do, we will be rich toward God indeed. Let this be what the parable does. Amen.